Hey, good morning, everybody. Are you marked? Yeah. I heard an occasional marked up here when he said that. We just want to remind you that you are marked. As we are in this series, and it's week three of this series, you are marked, all right? And we are marked by God. And we are so happy to have you here this morning, and happy to have the opportunity to come and talk to you about being marked by love. That's what we are going to speak on this morning. But just want to encourage each one of you, even as Pastor Jeff was mentioning, be thinking of people that you can reach out to, people in your neighborhood, people around you, people at your place of work, whatever it may be, people that you know that, you know what, they would benefit from the love of Jesus Christ that is shown by the community here, Bridgewater at Conklin. I want you to look around. If there's a friend that hasn't been here for a while, encourage them, invite them back out. If you have a friend that you want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, encourage them to come on out and be with us. We believe that we are marked, all right, to make a difference for God in life. We believe from week one that you are marked by being made in the very image of God, right? Genesis chapter 1 says that we are made in his image. God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make him in our likeness. And he did. He made man and woman in his image and in his likeness. And we believe one of the things that is very important with that, being made in the image of God, means that we are made to have relationship. All right, God is a relational God, and he wants to have a relationship with you and with me, and that is what we believe. We are marked to have a relationship with God. You are marked by me and made in his image. Last week, I don't know, how many of you continued to sing Heart of the Matter this past week with me? Only me, only a couple of us, all right? I was singing that song all week long, because, and don't worry, that's a good thing, right? We want to be singing about forgiveness, all right? Because we are marked by forgiveness. And sometimes we carry the pain of life, the pain of hurt around with us for a lifetime because forgiveness can be so difficult. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what? As somebody that lives in this world, we need to be individuals who are able to forgive. Otherwise, we end up just carrying that pain with us through life. That's why we sang that song. It's about forgiveness, right? It's about forgiveness. Hopefully this week you'll go out and you'll be singing Death is Arrested as our group up here. They led us in that. It was great to sing that with everybody this morning. What a great group you were to sing that along with them. And as Pastor Jeff mentioned, the energy with that, just so happy to hear us singing that Death is Arrested. And we will be celebrating that we celebrate it every week, but right, we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior with our celebration on Easter in just a couple of weeks. And as Pastor Jeff mentioned, do make sure that you are praying for those individuals that you would like to invite out to be a part of that service with us here. This week, we are going to be looking at Marked by Love. And I would have picked out a song to sing, but which love song do you pick out to have these guys sing? Right? There's too many of them to pick out. I don't know. Maybe I should have asked them what their favorite song is and said, here, sing a love song for us. But you and I, we are marked by love. And that's what we want to look at this morning. How is it that love marks our lives? And there are so many different passages of Scripture, so many different areas that we could look at as to where it is that we are marked by love. But we're going to pick out a few. And we're going to go through a handful of passages that talk about love and encourage us to be individuals that are marked by love, right? It's easy to talk about it sometimes, and sometimes we get lost in this idea that love is just a feeling, but hopefully as we leave this morning, we will realize that love is more than just a feeling, all right? But rather, it is also something that is an action that we go and do as well. We want to be marked by love in our lives. So as we get started, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and like I say, multiple passages this week, but we're going to start with one, and this first passage is going to be by John the Apostle. And this passage is going to be a passage that John writes decades after Christ is risen from the dead, and he has gone back to heaven, he's ascended into heaven, and John has gone around the world, and the rest of the disciples have gone around the world proclaiming the resurrected Savior. That was what they proclaimed. All right, they proclaimed this idea that there was somebody that came, this Jesus that was the Messiah, that was the Christ that came. He was crucified and died for the sins of mankind, and he rose again. And John's one of the ones that was able to say, I was there. I observed, I watched as he was beaten and as he was crucified and as he hung on a cross. And I was one of the ones that ran to the tomb on that Sunday morning and gazed in, looked in, and he was gone, no longer there. And years later, John writes this letter. And it's a letter that when he wrote it, John had no idea that 2,000 years later, we would still be reading this and referencing it today. But this is what John says, and he wants those that were listening to him and those that heard him to understand what love was. And he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." All right, he starts it right out there, and you'll see this is in 1 John chapter 4, but he starts right out informing us that he wants us to love one another. And he tells us where love comes from. It comes from God. Everyone who loves, who has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know, whoever does not love, does not know God, right? If you do not love, you do not know God, because God is love. Now, I want you to be caught here. I want you to understand something that's taking place here, because we all know people that love, and there are people that don't know God that love, right? You're aware. You see the actions of that. There's actually a little bit of a Greek play on words that is being used here that we don't pick up in our English, but the little play on words is there's multiple words of love that are used in what was the common language of the day, Greek, the Koine Greek, which was their common language, which was what our New Testaments were written in. And he's talking about a special love. It's what we call agape love. If you're familiar with that, there's an agape love, and that was a love from God. There's also a phileo love, right? The city of Philadelphia, that idea right there. A brotherly love, a love that many of us, that we all show. But when John is writing here, he's talking about a higher level of love is the best way that I can think to describe it. And it's what we call an agape love. And that's a love that God shows. And so he's using that word there. This is how God loves. And if we have the love of God in us, if you have the love of God in us, and you are going to be able, we are going to be able to show this love that is above and beyond that brotherly love, but a love that God has ordained, a love that God shows. And he continues on in the next verse by saying this: this is how God showed his love. This is how he showed it among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So he gives this very display of an action that God did. All right, God acted on our behalf. His love saw that we were desperate and without hope, and with that love, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. How valuable did he say we were? I will send my one and only Son. John didn't stop there. He continued on by saying, this is love. You see, John wanted to give us, he wanted us to lean in a little bit more. He wanted the reader to understand a little bit more and to see a little bit more. And he's there like, this is love. And as people who are listening, as people who are hearing, as people who would have been reading this, maybe they read it, look in a little bit more, because we've heard a lot about love. We've sang a lot about love. We're always working on what is that definition of love, right? And John continues on, not that we loved God, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he throws a little and in there for us as well. It's not only that God, it's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And now it's that he's going to do something. And he sent his Son, right? We just mentioned that, sent his Son. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. You see, that love of God went one step further, and that this was love, right? It was love that we loved, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The one that could cover, the one that could take care of, the one that could take care of the issue that you and I have, this sin issue that is within us. John gives us that as a backdrop, all right? And it's into that backdrop that I want to back up into the life of John. And we're going to go back and we're going to take a look at a couple of stories that John was present for. One of them is told by Matthew, who would have been a fellow apostle of John, was one of the 12 disciples that was there with Jesus, right? And Matthew's going to tell us a story, and then we're going to look forward to Luke, the one that wanted to investigate everything thoroughly and see what was going on. And we're going to take a look at how Luke described this as well. But we are marked by love in our lives as individuals who are marked by love. This is what Matthew gives us. This is an insight that Matthew gives us into love. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. If you were here last week, you know that we talked about the idea that they were trying to catch Jesus in his words. And here at this time, again, they want to catch Jesus in his words. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're coming together. And this happened quite a bit, especially in the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months of Christ's life, where they would join themselves together and they would try to come and they want to catch Jesus in his words. They want to trip him up. Everybody thinks this guy's so wonderful. The people are following after him. We don't believe that he's a Messiah. That's what these individuals were saying. And as they're doing that, they're trying to trick him. They're trying to catch him in his words. And one of them, one of the Pharisees, they came and an expert in the law tested him with this question. And as he continued on and testing him with this question, he's going to jump forward and he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Teacher, which one is the greatest commandment?" So he's trying to catch him, right? He wants to catch him in this idea of, "Teacher, you know the commands. You're the Messiah. You go around teaching. You start proclaiming. What is the greatest command?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." He puts these words right together here, and he gives us this idea right here. You are to love the Lord your God with all that you are, with all that you have. You know what? That references back a couple weeks ago to when we were looking at the idea that we are made in the image of God, right? We are made in the image of God. And when they came to test him back then, they said, "Hey, are we to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Which are we supposed to do, huh?" There were some that said do, there were some that said don't. We want to be rebels, we don't want to be rebels. We want to follow Jesus, which way are we supposed to go? And Jesus had him bring the coin out, if you remember this from a couple weeks ago. And he looked at it and he said, "Whose inscription, whose picture is that on it?" And they said, "Oh, that's Caesar's." And Jesus' words to them was, "Render to Caesar, give to Caesar that which is Caesar, and to God that which is God's." Right? We bear the image of God, we are to give to God that which is God's. We are God's. All right, make sure you catch that in the correct form. We are God's. He, his possession, all right? We are his. We are not God's in that we are becoming God's. Please catch my words there with that one, right? You can walk away. You never know. Somebody walk away. He said we were God's. That's the way it is. I guess we're God's. Everybody's walking out of here. They're all thinking they're wonderful people today. Good job, Joel. That was a great one there, huh? We are not uppercase G's. We are in no shape God's. But however, God has made us. We are made in his image. We are his. That's what I'm trying to say there. Good thing I caught that. I don't know if any of the rest of you caught that there, but I didn't want you walking out the door saying that. That's certainly not a good thing there. Anyway, so we are to love him with all that we have. Since we are his, we are to love him with all that we have, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, right? And that becomes difficult. Why? Because there's a lot of other things out there that catch my attention that I want to love. And Jesus goes on and he tells this expert in the law that wanted to catch him. He tells him this: "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it." Really? There's a second one? Yeah, the second is like unto it. And he continues, "It's love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments," is what Jesus goes on to say, right? All of the law, all of the prophets, they all hang on these two commandments. So what does he say? He says, "Listen, I want you to know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." You know what? And the second commandment is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. And we all say, all right. And Jesus brought the Ten Commandments together. And this wasn't new. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you that this wasn't new with the next passage. They understood this. They understood that the first four of the Ten Commandments, right? The first four of the Ten had to deal with their relationship with God. All right, right? Honor the Lord your God with all your, right? That was what we were supposed to do. Honor God first. We were refused to reduce. We weren't allowed to make images out to him. We were to remember the Sabbath. We were to remember to keep that holy. That's what the nation of Israel was to do. The first four of the ten, all dealing with the relationship with God. The next six, the final six of those ten, dealing with their relationship out here with others. First four vertical, the next six all horizontal out here. How do I deal with people around me? How do I show love? So that wasn't, I say, we're going to show that this wasn't new to them because it's going to be repeated back here by another expert in the law. You see, that's what Matthew talks about with this love, and that's how Jesus responded right there. That's what Jesus had written down. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Luke writes a similar passage, but it's going to be a little bit inverted here, a little bit different. All right, if we jump over to Luke chapter 10, we're going to take a look at the passage there. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Sounds similar to what we were just reading, right? Here's another passage that's going to take place. So remember, it's not just one time. This happens multiple times. And this expert in the law, he stands up and he says, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So it's one of the age-old questions that they're going to ask, all right, that they want to inquire of this guy that's claiming to be the Messiah, this guy that's the popular guy right now that's all out there. Everybody wants to see him. Everybody wants to hear him. He's going to just catch him. How is it that I can inherit eternal life? By the way, this man is an expert in the law. All right, he already thought that he had eternal life because he was going to be one of the religious leaders that we were talking about as well before. And Jesus responds to him and he says this, what is written in the law? That's what Jesus said. How do you read it? All right, you're an expert in the law. You have some information. You have some knowledge. You have some understanding. And this is how the expert in the law responds. He answered him and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And with all your mind. He adds in there, and with all your strength, right? The expert in the law adds that one in there. And love your neighbor as yourself. Very similar passage, right? It's the expert in the law that is responding this back to Jesus, saying back to Jesus exactly what Jesus had also said. How does Jesus respond? You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and live. Now, this is where it gets a little bit fun for you and for me because maybe I should just say for me, maybe you're not like this, but we all know somebody like this because sometimes we want to get as close to the edge as we can without going over, correct? We want to get as close to the edge as we can. Where's the line between what's allowed and what's sin? Because sometimes I just want to walk as close to it as I can and just look over and say, no, I'm not sinning. I'm okay right here, right? And the expert in the law, he was like that as well. Understand, the law had over 690 laws that they had written up in the Old Testament that they had brought all about. If they didn't like something, oop, new law, we're going to write that in, right? Your wife does something bad, oh, we'll write that in. Oh, we got to allow divorce for this. And they go through different things and they write it all down. They had laws about everything. As a matter of fact, if you remember in the New Testament, when Jesus healed the guy and told him to pick up his mat and walk, right? Wow, we all celebrate. This guy that couldn't walk can now walk. And remember, they caught him carrying his mat. What are you doing carrying your mat? It's the Sabbath. I don't know. The guy that healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. He's not a teacher. That's breaking the law. You're not allowed to carry that much weight on the Sabbath and go that far with it. That's work. That's too much. All right? That's the kind of laws that they would write up. That's the kind of things that they did. They just wrote up laws to write up laws. And the expert of the law, as he is looking here, he wants to catch Jesus in the different law, and he's there like, So he asks what you and I would ask after he answers this question. But he, the expert, wanted to justify himself, and he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Right? The expert in the law, he's sitting there saying, you know what? I want to understand more about this. So we know that we're to love our neighbor, but we kind of discuss that over at synagogue as well, over when we're doing education as well. We want to know who's our neighbor. Is it just the guy right next door to me? Or is it the guy two doors down from me? For heaven's bid, not the guy three doors down. I really don't like him. They drive us bats. So let's just keep it my neighbor. I'll go with the two on the side. But then the other one, they're kind of nuts too. They're loud. That's the loud guy. He's not my neighbor. All right, so who's my neighbor? Everybody right there. See, there we have it. Everybody. All right, we sometimes get caught up in this, and the expert in the law got caught up in this as well. He wanted to make sure, I don't have to do this for everybody, right? When you say love your neighbor, that kind of narrows it down, right, to just my street. You know, I don't have to be kind to everybody. And in this passage right here, Luke's going to go on and Luke's going to give a little bit of an explanation. Well, Jesus gives an explanation and Luke records it for us. And as he continues on here, Jesus is going to tell the story, and it's a story that probably many of you, if not all of you, have heard about, because we've heard about the Good Samaritan. And Jesus goes on and he explains to him, there was a certain man that was traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And in the midst of his traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho along the road, there were some robbers that came up and they beat him. They took his clothing and they robbed him. And after beating him, they left him half dead in the street, in the road, on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as Jesus is telling this story to the expert in the law and to the others that are there, they're tuning in and they're listening to the parable that Jesus is giving them. And he goes on to say, there was a priest that came along the same path. And when he saw the man beaten over there, near dead, he walked by on the opposite side. And as he continues the story, Jesus says, and another, a Levite, came along the same path as well. And when the Levite looked and saw the man that was beaten and half dead, he passed by on the opposite side as well. Jesus is painting a picture for this expert in the law, and he's painting a picture very well for him by saying, listen, I want you to know the priest, all right? The priest of the Levite, of the tribe of Levi, right? The tribe of Levi, when Jesus chooses these two groups, he's choosing them on purpose for a reason, because the Levites were the tribe from which the priests would come from. So if anybody was religious, if anybody was there that was going to serve other people, it would certainly be from this tribe or from the priests. But neither one of them did. They passed by on the opposite side. And Jesus continues on and he says, however, a Samaritan. Many of you are familiar with Samaritans. Samaritans, they were the ones that were kind of caught in the middle. You see, they were what we would call, they were the interracial group right there. And they weren't loved, they were hated. All right? And they were north of Jerusalem, and they were south of up in the area of Galilee, where a lot of the northern kingdom had wound up, and north of Jerusalem, south of the Sea of Galilee. And right in that area was an area that good Jews would want to avoid. They'd want to travel around because they couldn't go through that area. And when Jesus picks out a Samaritan, he picks out the person that they would say, ooh, we don't even want that guy to help us, let alone have him help us. But Jesus says it's the Samaritan that was going along the same path. And when he came along and he saw the man there beaten and half dead, he went over to him and he bandaged him. He picked him up. He poured oil and wine on his wounds. He put him on his own donkey and he took him down the trail the rest of the way to an inn. And he cared for him at the inn. And when he decided to leave, he gave the innkeeper a couple of coins and said, here, take care of this man, and if you need more, I will be back along coming through this way shortly, and I will repay you then. Jesus paints that story right there and puts it in the image of this expert in the law. Who's my neighbor? Three doors down? Four doors down? And Jesus now says to the expert, he says, which one of these do you suppose was the better neighbor? Which one of these do you suppose acted out of love? And the expert in the law knew the answer. And he says, I suppose the Samaritan. And Jesus answered him and said, you have chosen correctly. Go and do likewise. When he makes that statement, Jesus is letting us know that when we are to love our neighbor, it is the people around us in life. Who is around you? Who are the individuals that are near you? We can call it as a group, we can call it the proximity principle, right? I can't do for everyone, but I can do for one. right? I can't do for everybody all around the world, although you know what? Churches and church organizations do a tremendous job of that. And as you give to this church here, we give to organizations that reach out all around the world. Did you know that? It's something great to be a part of. The proximity principle. You see, the proximity principle says that that there is nearness in space. The idea of nearness in space, nearness of time, or relationship. So what is the idea here? Our proximity principle is the people that are around us. Who is it that is around you? Who is it that you have an outreach to? Who is it that you can communicate with? Who is it that you see at school? Who is it that you see at work? Who is it that lives in your community? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if in our communities we were known as a good Samaritan, if you were known as somebody that was full of love? You see, not only is the proximity principle something that we want to be a part of, nearness of space, time, those that are around us, those are our neighbors. We also want to display what we would call the kindness principle. And what's the kindness principle? It's exactly what the Good Samaritan did. He showed love. He showed kindness. Because Jesus Christ, he told us there. And the second commandment is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Excuse me there. I go back to that idea. What if look around this room right here. If every neighborhood that we represented, what if the people in our neighborhoods looked and they realized, wow, these people are filled with love. They know what it's like to be a loving neighbor. You and I know what it's like to be a loving neighbor. What kind of outreach would we have in our community? What kind of outreach do you have at work when you realize that you are the worker that comes in and you know what? You're able to show love to those around you. Think of those individuals that do that. And you're so thankful for them. How about if we did that because the love of God is in us and we show the love of God to those in our community, those in our neighborhoods, those that we reach out and touch. Sometimes we think that it's all about ministry. Sometimes we can get caught up, it's Sunday morning and that's where I go and I get my batteries recharged and that's a good thing and that's my ministry for the week. Bob Goff, a Christian writer, says it like this. He says, we don't need to call everything we do ministry. Just call it Tuesday. That's what people that are becoming love do. You see, it's not always, I got this form of ministry. I've got it. Ooh, where's my ministry group team that can go do this? Maybe it's just showing love to those around you. In every aspect, every walk, every area of your life. Maybe it's I show love when I'm at the basketball game and that ref just made his 17th bad call of the day and you're pretty sure he's blind, right? Few people are familiar with that. I work at sports events. What I do is I work at sporting events, and for years I've heard it. And I will tell you, when I lived down in the Harrisburg area, my boss there was an absolutely great guy to work for, and he usually said it as it was, or at least said it as he saw it. In the school that I worked at, we were a public school right across the river from Harrisburg, but we would occasionally play some Christian schools. And he knew that I was a follower of Christ. He knew that I was in seminary at the time, and he used to say when the Christian schools would come to town, he would say, "You Christians drive me bats. You holler and complain about everything." Now, mind you, he would claim to be a Christian as well. But he knew that as somebody that went to somebody that was going to seminary, he knew that I was a little I don't know how to say it. But he used to look at me a little bit more and say, "Oof, this is you guys right here. This is you." And I used to be, "George, it's you too. You're But anyway, but he would look at that, and that's when they would come to town. What a terrible idea. That wasn't catching this love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, but I paid $3 to get in here so I can holler at the ref all I want. How about this one? Maybe some of you, you're not always at sports events, but you do occasionally drive to work. And you do know some bad drivers out there, right? Yeah, you know some bad drivers. Oh, yeah. How about those bad drivers you see? We all love to be kind to them and encourage them, don't we? We love that neighbor, don't we? Yeah. We love that neighbor with the number one signal, right? Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Beep. Your aspect of love. Maybe it's just the person at work that annoys you. And I know that, right? They get under your skin, they start to bother you. Maybe it's something else is broken in your life. God tells us, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, he gives us this idea that there is a great commandment, and he attaches that great commandment to the Great Commission. Why is the great commandment so important to love your neighbor as yourself? Because there is a great commission that he has called us to go and reach people with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why are we putting stickers up in the back? Because we want you to have in your mind, we want you to have in your thoughts, in your ideas, names of people, you know what, that I am trying to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? It doesn't go well for me reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ when I'm giving them a good old salute as I drive by them on the highway because they were driving slow and made me mad. It doesn't go well when I'm the one cursing, complaining at work every day, talking about how bad Susie is or Johnny is and all that good stuff, and then all of a sudden saying, oh, but you should come to my church this Sunday because we're wonderful and we love people. You see, how I live my life on Tuesday may be saying more about my Christianity than how I worship on Sunday morning in here, correct? Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's what catches people. They look and they say, but you're just a bunch of hypocrites. You're right, we are a bunch of hypocrites. Why? Because we're broken people. But we realize that we need a Savior, and we realize that we need a hospital, and when we come together and join together in the house of God with the people of God, hearing the Word of God, it is there to change and mend and mold my life to be more like Him. Why? Because I was broken, and I needed a Savior. As John said, that atoned for my sin. And I'm still recovering because I still have a sin problem in my life. I haven't reached perfection yet. A few of you have.
Really?
No, not really. Some people think they have, but they're usually like the expert of the law. They want to know who's my neighbor because I want to know when I can break the law and when I don't have to show love. You see, for each one of us in our lives, we are marked by love. And for some of us, that being marked by love may be that we are still being mended, that we are still being fixed. But I want you to know that God is at work in your life. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why? So that hopefully your neighbor will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that we will recognize that Christ came that we may have life and we may have it to the full. Because God is at work in you and in me. We are marked by being made in the image of God. We are marked by forgiveness. We are marked by love. Go out and live that way. I want you to know as you leave today, in spite of this COVID thing, I am going to give you all hugs and kisses today. Just because I love you, and I want you to know that it's time for hugs and kisses. So when you walk out this morning, a more grotesque thought you could not imagine than getting a kiss from me. You didn't have to applaud. But we want you to celebrate. We want you to celebrate the love of Jesus Christ. I want you to be reminded that we are to love one another, and there will be a hug and a kiss at the gate, at the door for you this morning as you leave. Take that. Be reminded that we are to be those who love our neighbor as ourselves. Pray with me if you would, please. God, as we close our time together this morning, I say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have been here with us today. Lord, your Holy Spirit is in our midst when we sing praise to your name. Lord, you are with us when we speak your word. And God, we thank you for these passages of Scripture that remind us of what love is and how we act as individuals who have love in our hearts. May you help each one of us. May you help us this week. in the difficult circumstances, in the difficulties of a Wednesday morning, the middle of the week, when we're tired, when we're sleepy, when somebody's annoyed us again, may we remember that I am called to love my neighbor as I love myself. And those that are around me that are in need are my neighbor. So may I show the love of Jesus Christ to them. God, I thank you. And Lord, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior. And we pray this in his name. Amen.